Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you want to stay in Chicago or is that...
Yeah, of course. Of course I want to stay. But I can't see myself playing in another place, but I know how that league is. Like, if it was up to me, I would want to stay in Chicago. I love the city. The city's lit. The fans are, you know, they're great. And the people, but it's a business. I ain't got no control over it, so whatever happens. But I feel like the biggest thing with all this going on right now, I just want it to be over.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's why it's sad. That's why my first emotion was kind of like the texter or caller said earlier. My stomach kind of dropped. I mean, it is the end of what was truly one of the most hopeful eras in Chicago Bears history. I know that sounds like hyperbole, but it really was. And there have been many points of maxing out in terms of hopefulness. The, you know, post 85 Bears, there was hopefulness. After the Bears went to the Super Bowl in the 06 season, massive hope. After the 2018 season, man, there was almost a parade before that Packers game. So there have been hopeful moments, but the era of Justin Fields football represented so much. No more popular player than Justin Fields, I think, in terms of being drafted and the hope that existed. No, he doesn't go down as one of the Bears' most popular players, but the hope that existed for him was bigger than anything I've ever seen. As we officially welcome you back in, I'm Mark Grody on The Score, here with you until 3 o'clock. Justin Fields traded to the Steelers, essentially for a conditional sixth-round pick. And let's keep talking about Justin Fields. We'll get to more of your calls a little bit later on, 312-644-6767. My next guest, this is perfect because the previous caller that we had just had on was a huge supporter of Tyson Bagent. And our next guest, David Haw from the Mullion Haw Show, joining us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. He invented the Bagency. So I'm sure that Mr. Haw, David Haw, probably like, yeah, it's time for Tyson Bagent now, right? From game one?
Yeah, Mark. Okay, let's not start there. let's not put words in my mouth and assign wrong opinions. I would never suggest that. I liked the story at the time of the season where they had to go to the backup. It was a fun thing to do and to chronicle, but no, I do not want that to get out there. So let's just strike.
All right.
Robbie, we can hit dump him.
Yes, David Haw does not want Tyson Bagent to be the future of the Chicago Bears. There, I said it. Let's get serious now. I am happy to say what an epic moment it was yesterday that I was around a lot of the Score staff yesterday at the boss's house when this news broke. One of the people, one of the attendees who I had been having many pleasant conversations with throughout the day was the man that we are being joined by right now, and that is David Haw. So we experienced this in real time. But Haw, what was your initial reaction when you heard that Justin Fields was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a conditional sixth round pick?
Well, I think from a football perspective, I was impressed because Ryan Poles did what I think was a difficult thing to pull off. That's actually trade Justin Fields after he had telegraphed his intentions to trade Justin Fields knowing what the fan base felt about this guy and knowing what the league was telling him about the quarterback. The league was rejecting the idea that Justin Fields was a starting quarterback, and the league spoke very loudly. And so when you don't have any kind of leverage in any kind of deal, I think that it just made it more difficult to thread the needle. So I was initially impressed from a football perspective, from a personal perspective, like a lot of people want to, you know, react. And I know you said your stomach dropped. I saw your face, and boy, crestfallen would describe Grody. And
that's
just
like
because,
that word.
Yeah,
good word.
Crestfallen.
Yeah,
nice. I was a little relieved, Mark, because I think that the conversation had become tired. To be honest, there was no debate in Chicago. We could package it as a QB1 debate, but really that was overstating what we were talking about here. What the Bears needed was closure. And what everyone in this city needs, I think, now is to recognize, as much as I, you know, look, I respect and understand everybody's feelings and love and affection for Justin Fields because of what he represented to them. He was the most exciting Bear since Devin Hester, and there was a lot of popularity that you had to consider, but he's not the guy that you can win a Super Bowl because of. You might be able to win with a defense and a running game, and he can, you know, add to the mix, and you might win a Super Bowl with Justin Fields, but he's not the quarterback you win because of. And I think that the sooner the Bears moved on and took another giant step in that direction, the better for everybody. So I guess I was a little relieved because now we don't have to entertain the notion or the possibility. What happens if they both stay? What would that dynamic be like? I think Ryan Poles answered that question. It just wasn't tenable. It was an untenable situation. It wasn't very practical. And so this, to me, was a difficult decision for Ryan Poles because he complicated the trade market by showing his hand, by saying he wanted to do right by Justin. This does right by Justin, yes. But it does right by the Chicago Bears, and I think that is the biggest takeaway.
Yep, it's a relief for everybody. Now, Ryan Poles can just focus on what they need to focus on, and that is figuring out who the next quarterback is going to be for the Bears, and it's probably going to be Caleb Williams, assuming that he has checked all the right boxes for Ryan Poles, which becomes the conversation now. But no, I think great points. I mean, you said it last night. Yesterday when the news broke that, yeah, there's relief not only from our perspective, but from the Justin Fields camp. He's going to be relieved. Like he said, man, he wanted to be here, but he also wanted it to be over. The Bears needed it to be over. And right now, this is what we're working through with Bears fans. It's not necessarily over for Bears fans, and that's why we're doing the show that we are doing right now, Haw.
Well, Mark, this idea that, okay, I love that you're on the air on a Sunday afternoon because Justin Fields was traded. I love the idea that this was so important that people need to talk through their feelings and maybe even grieve a little bit because of what is going on and how much they loved Fields. But to me, it's just like, okay, this is missing the point. The point about this is, yes, you respect what Justin Fields meant to the organization and how he handled himself as a pro, down to his goodbye message. This guy is all class, all class. You want your sons to grow up and be like Justin Fields, mentally tough and professionally sound and all those things. But there's nothing to be sad about. This is the most happy offseason you could imagine if you are a Bears fan. You look what happened yesterday. You introduced a future Hall of Fame wide receiver in the morning, and you cleared the way for possibly the biggest, the best quarterback you're going to draft in a few months. And you cleared the path and made it easier for Caleb Williams to succeed because there's nothing in his way in terms of a distraction. You've eliminated dysfunction. And now it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's up to the Bears organization to figure out finally a way to develop a quarterback. And you were on it, Mark, and I know you've been around a long time. So you said over the last 15 years there have been four kind of attempts. Now this is the fourth: Cutler, and then Trubisky, and Justin Fields, and now Caleb Williams. And a lot of people out there don't want to believe that this is going to be any different. And I understand and respect that cynicism. It's inherent. We are in Chicago. Teams find ways to screw things up. But this is as close as you're going to get if you're a Bears fan to feeling like you're on the verge of something. So you are, understand what's going on here, everyone. You are on the verge of a breakthrough. You have done things the right way if you're Ryan Poles, and he's given you reason to believe that he's going to make more good decisions, and you've got a three-year window now that should be very, very promising. It's been a tremendous offseason for the Bears.
That is so well said in terms of the people who might, like me, on initial reaction, who want to call right now and that are sad, and we definitely welcome that. I totally get that. But the you're right, man. The hope is real with this Bears and what they have done and what could be. And, yeah, my point earlier was it, and this sounds horrible, but it does feel like they're getting closer with all the swings. Then, you know, different GMs, I get it, you know, ranging from Angelo to Emery to Pace to Poles. But these swings have all had their own stories, and it feels like everyone has gotten them just a little bit closer, and hopefully Caleb Williams closes the deal. Haw, one of the things that I want to ask you, because I'm kind of struggling to answer this question. It was a question that Chuck Swirsky last night at halftime of the Bulls game, when I went on during the game and they gave me a little bit of time on their broadcast, Chuck asked me the question of what is the legacy of Justin Fields? How would you answer that question? What is Justin Fields' legacy with the Chicago Bears?
You know, it is a good question. I heard that interview driving home, Mark. You did a terrific job.
Thanks, man.
Just kind of going back into radio mode. you can be social grody, or then you can go back into that guy. So, you know, I don't want to say it's a complicated one, because it's to me, you know, it's a short one, short tenure, and so it's easy to kind of put into perspective, I think. You know, Justin Fields was the most exciting Bear since Devin Hester. Mm-hmm. But he was a square peg in a round hole. And as a polished NFL passer, he was a historically good running back or a runner at the quarterback position. And that's not going to get you necessarily as far as you want to go, especially when you're hampered by a coaching staff and an organization that didn't do right by you, in that they didn't understand how to utilize your strengths until it was too late. I feel like one coaching staff after another struggled with the best way to utilize Justin Fields' skill set. If you're going to have a quarterback as special as he is, and he is special, then you've got to tailor everything in your organization, everything about your offense around that. It's a risk. It's a gamble. But it's one the Bears really never went fully into. So Luke Getsy struggled because he didn't go all in. I think Justin Fields struggled because of that hesitation by a coaching staff to take an unorthodox approach to scripting game plans and devising schemes and everything around him. But I think ultimately, when you talk about Justin Fields and a legacy, his production never matched his popularity, and so he had to go.
Yep, very true and very well said. Talking to David Haw, co-host of the Molly and Haw Show on 670 The Score. Haw, it's amazing, and this is, you know, part of what you were saying at the beginning of your answer here. It's that, yes, it's a great comp, the Devin Hester, Justin Fields, in terms of electricity towards the end, towards the goal of scoring. There was really, like, Justin Fields, Devin Hester, Gale Sayers. It's a very specific and elite group of Bears. He rushes for over 1,000 yards. He had those spectacular, unbelievable touchdowns and the elusivity that went along with it, and none of it mattered. I can't believe how none of that. I mean, we're talking about Hester stuff. Everybody loved it. But at the end, nobody cared that he did what he did in that year. This guy's going to be a backup quarterback. That blows me away a little bit, Haw.
He did that in the year that they were bad enough to qualify for the first overall draft pick.
Yeah,
so
true.
Everything is relative. And so, you know, the individual greatness, the individual highlights, the individuality, if you will, never outweighed the inconsistency, because as a passer, the individual greatness as a runner never outweighed the inconsistency as a passer. And that's also part of his legacy. You look at the numbers, and it's not necessarily to point out his deficiencies or to pick on him, because he was an easy guy to like and everybody loved him, because we always graded the flashes.
Yeah.
And the flashes were like, oh my gosh, did you see that? But Mark, you know as well as anybody, you've been up there, you've been, as you said, after games talking to him, you've been through those fourth quarters where he wasn't able to rally his offense and do whatever he needed to do. The numbers spoke a different story, and I think that at the end of this, when we evaluate, you know, what happened and why, the league told the Bears that they did a lousy job of developing this quarterback as a passer, doing what he needs to do in the NFL to bring teams back, to lead offenses, to hit the open receivers, all the things. Because if he were just somebody that the league trusted could do that, they wouldn't be giving him away for a conditional sixth-round pick in 2025. There would have been a bigger market develop and a bigger demand for his services.
All right, let me throw this at you. I threw this out there earlier. If Caleb Williams wasn't the quarterback that was available in this draft, do you think that Ryan Poles would have kept Justin Fields?
Yes, I do.
Really?
I do. I think that if they would have had the number one overall draft pick, look, everything I just said remains valid, but I think you have to consider the context of every decision that you make, and what everything is about the alternative. Everything in life is about what is the alternative. When you're weighing a job change, when you're weighing selling your house and buying a new one, what is better? Is it better? Well, in this case, it's pretty easy for football executives and talent evaluators to conclude that Caleb Williams is better than a lot of options that are currently in the NFL, and Justin Fields was one of them. So if you're Ryan Poles, you looked at that and said, okay, I'm going to take the big swing. I'm ready to be bold. And Caleb Williams, let's be honest, could still be a bust. We could all be wrong, those of us who believe that he's not going to be. But if we're wrong, it wouldn't be the first time that somebody busted out at the top of a draft. But if you're Ryan Poles, you've got to take that chance. You've got to take that chance because he's there. And you can't regret. You don't want to live with regret, and he would have. He would have wondered if he just passed on the next Patrick Mahomes or the next superstar quarterback, the next Joe Burrow or whoever. But if he wasn't there, then it would have been very easy to talk yourself into this idea that you're going to trade the pick, build around a quarterback, and you're going to tailor everything about your next game plan and your next offense around him and try to win that way.
Yeah.
The Bears could get to the playoffs in 2024 with Justin Fields as their quarterback. But in the next 3 years, they believe they could probably win a Super Bowl with Caleb Williams as their quarterback, and that, to me, is the difference.
Yep, and I think the best way to put it for Ryan Poles is, even if he anguished over the decision, as he probably came down to, as you were saying, David, you can't not pick Caleb Williams. You know, I mean, even if you would have preferred to have explored things more, get a better look at Drake May, or maybe you take a shot at Jaden Daniels, or maybe you're thinking outside the box like Michael Penix Jr. could be, unfortunately, you're stuck. You're kind of screwed. You have to take Caleb Williams because you're an idiot if you pass up on the guy that people use the word generational for, I think, on that.
I don't think you can do that. I think you're exactly right. I don't think that you want to try to be known as the guy that's going against the grain here. So far, what Ryan Poles has done is make the decision that has ignored public opinion, that has basically been something he believes in. And I think that if he evaluates Caleb Williams to this point, I'm not sure he would have made this trade unless he believed that Caleb Williams was the guy. Maybe he would have traded him anyway. That's a good debate. We could talk about that. Brad Biggs, I know, thinks that they were committed to drafting any quarterback, that not just Caleb Williams. But Mark, I think Ryan Poles kept his head coach despite those clamoring for Jim Harbaugh or somebody else. He believed in Matt Eberflus. I don't necessarily think that he should have if those other guys were available, but he did. He traded Justin Fields despite a fan base that adores him. He's making good football decisions. He's trading for Keenan Allen. He's signing guys that are depth pieces on your roster. Ryan Poles is having a very good offseason, and drafting Caleb Williams at number one to me is a no-brainer, and that will just continue on draft night.
Yeah, I thought he was having an okay offseason until the Keenan Allen piece came about, and then it puts everything else into perspective for sure. And you know, with the trading of Justin Fields, obviously that's a big deal. I got a good text here, Haw, okay. And that is, someone doesn't know what you think about this. I think it was put pretty well from the 815. It says, I think Justin's legacy, as we struggle to figure out what it is, I think Justin's legacy as a Bear is flashes of greatness and glimpses of magic. Like, that's pretty well put.
They did have flashes of greatness and glimpses of magic. But there were also those too many moments that were more enduring of struggle, mm-hmm. because there were yards left on the field, and you look at the numbers, and it wasn't just the lack of weapons around him. It wasn't just the infrastructure that didn't support him. At some point in time, those who love Justin Fields and love those glimpses of greatness and magic have to acknowledge that he didn't do enough either. And so it's shared responsibility. The blame pie, I don't know how you divide up, Grody, but everyone's eating.
Delicious. And what kind of pie would that be, David Haw?
Oh, that if I were baking the blame pie, I think I'd go with rhubarb. Rhubarb pie. Yes.
Rhubarb.
And maybe, Grody, you know, some Indiana strawberries, some strawberry rhubarb pie, always good on a, you know, on a July Sunday.
Just, rhubarb.
Yes.
Rhubarb. Wow. I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like there's so many other pies that you can choose from before you get to rhubarb. But I guess that's an Indiana thing.
It might be an Indiana thing. I bet you Robbie Triano was eating some rhubarb pie growing up in
I've never heard
Detroit.
Rhubarb pie in my life. I just looked it up. This looks disgusting.
Go hang up your A's hat. Grody, does he have his A's hat on today?
No, he's got his damn Tigers hat on today.
Yeah, you know what? We had Rick Sutcliffe on for a great interview yesterday on Inside the Clubhouse, to digress just briefly.
Sure, please.
Rick Sutcliffe waxing poetic and eloquently about 1984 and all the things that he's learned in the 40 years since and all the wisdom he's imparting to the young minor leaguers in the Cubs system. And you know what Robbie Triano had to say in the control room? Who won the World Series that year?
Smart Alec. Who did win the World Series that year?
Smart Alec.
Oh, man. He's a troublemaker. That Robbie is not just like the rest of us, that he's got a little bit of outside influence, which makes it fun, Haw. It makes it fun.
I know. He's talking about biting kneecaps and all sorts of things. I mean, it goes a little too far.
Oh, man. Oh, well, maybe I should ask him all about DeAndre Swift. Didn't DeAndre Swift blow the Lion his rookie year first game against the Bears? Didn't he blow it in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, sorry. No, sorry.
Grody, that was the first game of his NFL career. He's already contributed to a Bears victory.
Absolutely. Haw, wait a minute. A couple more things before I let you go here. Was there another group of bagpipers that after I left, because your voice is shot? What happened, man?
Is my voice shot?
Yeah. It doesn't sound like it's shot. I'm sensing a little bit of lost voice, and I'm wondering if you snuck back into the, because you were left at about the same time I did.
A little bit, yeah. I have not done any karaoke. It might just be I just got back from a run. I might be a little bit wrong.
Okay. No, you sound good.
It's Sunday.
It might not even be detectable to the odd. To me, maybe I was projecting because I wanted to think that you went back into the party yesterday after we left.
I did not go back into the party for the bagpipers, and I will sound a lot more distinguished now.
Yes, you do. You
Let's
sound great.
Let's talk about the Steelers and Russell Wilson.
So you and Mully, you guys are full strength tomorrow? You and Mully, 5:30?
Full strength, 5:30. The pregame starts at 5 o'clock. Dustin Rose to start things off, and we will be jam-packed. We're going to talk about, obviously, Selection Sunday. We'll also talk about what the Bears did. We're going to have Jerry Palm on the show. We're going to have Brad Biggs. It's big time at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be a treat. We're going to talk to Chris Collins from Northwestern to talk about what happens to the Wildcats today with Selection Sunday. And then 9 o'clock, Dave Wannstedt, Wani, will tell us what he thinks about the big deal and what's ahead for the Bears.
David, seriously, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it, and I know that you probably wouldn't have it any other way, but I appreciate you coming on the show today on a Sunday, man. Thank you.
I always love talking with you, Grody, even if I'm not sounding like I have a great voice today.
But I'm sorry. Maybe I was wrong.
Fun, man.
Maybe it's the connection. I'm sorry. Now you're going to be questioning yourself all
Good
day.
Man.
Take care, Haw. Take all care right. with your rhubarb pie. Rhubarb. That's the way I justify. Whenever Haw says something that's just a little bit off kilter, I always go, oh, is that like an Indiana thing? Oh, is that like, oh, you like that? Oh, you don't like sausage? Is that an Indiana? Yeah, maybe. It's probably an Indiana thing.
The texters are saying rhubarb pie is delicious, but I'm looking at photos and it looks just disgusting.
You know what? It might be good. I just can't imagine when you ask, oh, what kind of pie would apple? Pie,
pumpkin.
Blueberry pie.
Pumpkin's divisive. I was thinking that direction.
A little bit divisive. I do get a taste for pumpkin pie around Thanksgiving, but during the year, I don't think I've ever had a piece
of pumpkin pie. It's only good sometimes, like Justin Fields.
Right. I think our taste buds adjust for the holidays. I think that's just another one of the wonderful human tricks that our bodies accommodates for us right around the Thanksgiving holiday. But yeah, I don't know. I think you could have said like a cream pie, something like that, a pudding pie, apple pie, blueberry pie, but he went full on rhubarb. But great thoughts from David Haw. I especially like the part where he reminded us that even though it is sad and that you're allowed to be sad, and I'll take sad, sad, sad callers, that's fine, but keep in mind what Haw said, and that is this is potentially a great moment for Bears football, all sad as it might be, because guess what? You just introduced Keenan Allen yesterday. You have now opened the door for potential generational quarterback in Caleb Williams. You have DJ Moore on the roster still. You have a getting better every year Cole Kmet. I don't know what Gerald Everett will give you. You have DeAndre Swift, as we just discussed as well. Not to mention the what they, I mean, now it also, you know, it starts to make sense, some of the depth that they've added along the offensive line. That is all of that, all of the things that I just mentioned, all in the name of beefing up your offense to make a quarterback a little bit more comfortable. More of your calls coming up, or your calls coming up, because we haven't taken a call in a little while, but we're going to do that next. 312-644-6767. If you want to jump in, or the folks that are waiting on hold, I will get to you in this next segment. At 1:40, Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune will join us. Herb Howard with his thoughts at 2 o'clock. Of course, Herb Howard is the beat reporter for It's the Bigs, and he's always been a big-time Justin Fields supporter. So looking forward to hearing what the Double H has to say in just a little bit. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Score.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it. You know, it was great. You know, ever since the moment I've got here, the fans here have been great, you know, to me, to the team. I was saying, somebody in there like last year when we didn't have a good record. I mean, they're still showing up, you know, late in the season, cheering us on. So, Chicago Bears fans, you know, definitely number one in the world. And, you know, just know I love y'all. We love y'all as a team. And, you know, they're always great. So, definitely very appreciative of them and, you know, how they just supported our team all year.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I mean, from the very beginning, Bears fans loved Justin Fields. I remember covering the first preseason games for Justin Fields and the fans booing Andy Dalton, and that Justin Fields afterwards, you know, is trying to show appreciation, but also saying basically you shouldn't boo poor Andy Dalton. So that's how popular the man was right from the beginning before he even set foot on the football field. But now here we are, 3 years later, and Justin Fields has been traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a conditional sixth-round pick. I'm Mark Grody. We are talking about it. More of your calls in a sec. Dan Wiederer going to join us at 1:40. I do love that there's not necessarily anger as the two sides part ways, that it does feel like business and that there won't be a divisive back and forth. We may learn things from both parties and maybe from the Justin Fields camp in terms of the opportunity that he had. I don't know. That's not out of the realm of possibility, but I do like it means something to me, like the fan in me, that the next time Justin Fields is at Soldier Field, and it will happen inevitably, I don't know if he'll play, but maybe he will. But my feeling is that Justin Fields, no matter what, will be greeted very warmly and lovingly. And that's not always been the case in the past with Bears or any of our favorite teams, players who go away, they go out of town, and it's ugly and all of that. But with Justin Fields, somehow, some way, right to the very end where Robbie was just playing the "We love Justin" or "We want Justin" chance, right to the very end, man, Bears fans were good to this man. And you can, if you make your arguments about the organization not being good to Justin Fields, I'll hear those on a specific case-by-case basis. But for the most part, you know, and Justin, it got to the point where Justin Fields, who came in as a guy who probably barely ever set foot in Chicago, probably didn't know much about it, didn't really care too much about Chicago necessarily. I know that sounds harsh, but he also left Chicago wanting to be in Chicago for as long as possible and professing his love for Bears fans and the city of Chicago and everything that goes with it. I know for a fact that he did not like dealing with us, especially towards the end when things got crazy. It's a difficult media market, and I, you know, I don't take it personally, and he didn't mean it personally, but I think that this was a like that it's as somebody put it at the combine, as somebody put it, can't name names, but somebody associated with Chicago Bears football said to a bunch of us reporters that this is this the Chicago machine, as they put it, in terms of the media and the influence that exists. I don't know that we have that much power, but look, we're the media is a real voice, or the score is a real voice and reflective and can affect things at time. Not that we have those sort of superpowers, but bottom line is I am happy for that part, that the a tenable breakup has existed in terms of the words that both sides used, and Justin Fields being thanking the fans, thanking his teammate, thanking the Chicago Bears organization. Those kinds of things are relatively rare in sports life, where you leave. We're not going to get a obviously we didn't get a final press conference out of Justin Fields. It's not that tenable, but it's a pretty good situation. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's get back to some of your calls before we bring in Dan Wiederer. This is Jake. What up, Jake? You're on the score.
Hey, what's going on? I love the show. Having a good time listening.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I think for all the fans that are sympathetic and whatnot with Justin Williams, I mean, absolutely. Stand-up guy, you know, like Han, you were saying, you know, showed flashes of greatness and magic and all that other stuff, you know, whatever. But I think Fields will be just fine. I think he's going to be like a Baker Mayfield. Like, I think he's just going to be one of them guys. You know, he's a B-average quarterback and then has flashes of greatness, and I think his time's coming.
Yeah, I mean,
and if you got to sit behind Russell Wilson, so what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True. I mean, yeah, that does put him in position. That puts him in a really good position, because Russell Wilson ain't Russell Wilson anymore. And if he falters a little bit in another tough media football town, they will definitely be calling for the backup quarterback, and that would be Justin Fields. I like the Baker Mayfield comp in terms of the hopes and the hype that existed. Mayfield's kind of went to another level just because of some of the endorsements and his robust, gregarious personality. But I do like that as a comp in terms of the hopes. And I do think about Justin Fields. And I absolutely believe, whether through injury or maybe there will be a team that will want Justin to start a season with him, I do believe we will see Justin Fields, the starter, again, in some way, shape, or form. You know, to what extent that goes, to what kind of a quarterback he is there further development? That's a tough call. I mean, he's had a decent amount of experience, and some of the flaws that we have seen, while gotten better, are not solved, and they're pretty important key factors in his development. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, Baker Mayfield's a good one. I think about somebody like Ryan Tannehill, who had been left for dead, and then he made something of himself. Hey, one of the new coaches in the NFL this year is one of the guys that I think of who got his career going relative to what it was. Former Chicago Bears quarterback Jim Harbaugh, the new head coach of the LA Chargers. Once upon a time ago, kids, Jim Harbaugh was a quarterback for Mike Ditka and the Bears, had a lot of hope coming out of Michigan, and really just wasn't good. He just really was. And another guy that people were hopeful for, local kid, at least in terms of college, they were like, Jim, good looking guy. Everybody wanted Jim Harbaugh to be the Bears quarterback, but he was not very good. But he did, all of this to say that he did end up having a revival in his career and became a very effective quarterback with the Indianapolis Colts. As a matter of fact, they called him Captain Comeback. He was so good, was Jim Harbaugh for a while. So we'll see. That's a great question, though. What will be when we project Justin Fields? What will become of him? 312-644-6767, the number. Matthew, I believe in Elmhurst. I think we're going to Elmhurst. Is that right, Matthew?
Yeah, that's right. So just before I get to my quick 2 points, I just want to say, like, obviously, definitely pulling for Caleb if he's eventually the quarterback. and want him to succeed because the Bears succeed. But my first point is where I think a lot of the frustration stems from is that whether it was through the roster supporting Justin or the coaching, I don't think you fully got a great evaluation of what he could be. And in a quarterback-starved city, it just seems like a missed opportunity to not really be able to properly evaluate him with a more competent supporting cast.
Okay.
And secondly, I think that the skepticism could come from, oh man, this next quarterback might work out is seriously Matt Eberflus. I mean, the fact that that guy didn't get canned following the Browns, the Lions, and the Broncos losses, and that's the guy that you want to pair with your new young stud quarterback is beyond me. And it should have been Harbaugh if they wanted to just do everything right. You write him a blank check, and this is the guy to pair with the rookie quarterback moving forward. And I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. I mean, good points. Good points. I was talking about this on the Bernstein and Holmes show the other day. I was filling in for Lawrence. Lawrence will be back tomorrow, so I can't wait to hear what he's got to say about all of this and a lot of things. Lawrence, I hope you're back and listening, my friend. Alan Williams saved Matt Eberflus's job this year. Alan Williams, the former Bears defensive coordinator, who was fired for whatever he did, and Matt Eberflus takes over the play calling. The defense gets better. They get Montez Sweat. And justifiably, Matt Eberflus gets a lot of the credit for that. I don't know that he'd have a job right. I don't think he'd have a job right now if he hadn't called plays, honestly. Honestly. Like, I think that Ryan Poles does love the man, and I think he was being serious when he praised him for all that he did to get the Bears through some rough times and keep the locker room together and all of the things that a team general is responsible for. Like, he did check a huge box. For sure, did Matt Eberflus, if that is indeed truth, you know, from the players' perspectives and all of that, or let's just say it is. But really, the part where Poles can super justify it is, okay, Matt Eberflus did a good job with his defense to the point where it looks really good. Now, but that did. I mean, it's weird to say, but that did save his life as the Bears head coach, I think. So you're right. It's not ideal. Honestly, I don't think Matt Eberflus, you know, and understand like Matt Eberflus is like Matt Nagy in that Matt Nagy didn't take a lot of time to deal with the defense other than borrowing defensive players to put on offense periodically. And I think Matt Eberflus is similar in that he is well concerned with the defense, and he is willing to give power to somebody else, in this case Shane Waldron and his staff, to deal with the offense. And I'm not even saying that that's a bad way to deal. Like, I don't know if I want my defensive major working with the offensive majors. Like, I don't know if I need Matt Eberflus to do that. But point taken, wouldn't it be nice in this case if there was an offensive-minded head coach to pair with the offensive coordinator. But look, I do think that Flus, based on what he did with the defense, did deserve to come back, and we'll see if he can enjoy the ride if it's Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams is what we think he is going to be. Coming up next, cannot wait to talk to Dan Wiederer, beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune, frequent guest here on The Score. He's also the co-host of the Win the North. Wait, the Pick the North. Why am I fumbling over that? Take the North and Never Give It Back. Take the North podcast. I'm sorry, Weeds. That he does with David Haw. Dan Wiederer is coming up next. I'm Mark Garrodi on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Justin has a rare combination of intelligence, of size, of strength, and speed. You forget how big of a man he is until you're up on him. He's not a small man. And so I just think every year he's going to continually get better. So I'm glad he's on the Chicago Bears.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That was the big boss of the Bears. Kevin Warren. I am here with you until 3 o'clock today talking about the Chicago Bears. We will certainly get to more of your calls coming up. 312-644-6767. Justin Fields traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a conditional 6th rounder in 2025. Coming up in a bit, too, we're going to talk to Herb Howard, Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs and a big Justin Fields supporter. So I know that Herb will be representing a lot of you when he comes on the Score to give his perspective. So looking very forward to that. And right now, very much looking forward to talking to Dan Wiederer as well. Of course, Dan Wiederer, the Bears beat reporter, enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune, on-air contributor for 670 The Score, and host of the Take the North podcast. And Weedsy joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. What's going on, Dan? How are you?
Grody, thanks for including me in this little informal roundtable that you got going today. A lot to talk about. Just give you a little peek behind the curtain. When I know I'm going to be on the radio or doing a podcast for Take the North, I start scribbling down notes on the back of gas station receipts or kids' homework that's laying around the house. I've got like 5 different sheets going right now with thoughts on everything that's happened here recently. So
that's fantastic. Well, let's dig in. Maybe I could hit on some of your notes. And it's funny, man. Like I needed to be like, they asked me to come on and I was like, yes, because I felt like I really wanted to and needed to talk about this because it is loaded. There is just so much that goes into this. We could talk about it for hours, all the different angles right now, but I guess I will narrow it down for you, Dan, and ask you the question, what was your initial reaction when word came out that Justin Fields was traded to Pittsburgh for a conditional 6th round pick in 2025?
Yeah, so I was picking up pizzas yesterday when I learned of the news that the trade had been made. And obviously the initial reaction is, okay, we've reached the finish line of what's been a very exhausting saga in Chicago. The secondary reaction was, wow, not just a 6th round pick, but a future 6. Now, it's a conditional pick, obviously, and if Justin makes enough appearances and plays 51% of the snaps for the Steelers, that'll move up to a number 4 next year. But just the meager return left me startled initially, you know, because you thought at the very least you can get something that will help you build your team this year, and they were unable to do so. Now, you zoom out a little bit, and I tweeted a little bit about this morning, and you look at the big picture lens, and you understand that if you're in Ryan Poles' seat, this is going to be judged. This trade, this move, this decision is going to be judged on how Justin's replacement fares over the next 5 years, right? And that's what it comes down to. And so if you have conviction that whether it's Caleb Williams or a plan B with one of these other quarterbacks that is in the draft, that they are going to be able to put together a stretch here over the next 5 seasons that vaults you and elevates you into consistent contention for championships, then you make this move and you don't worry about the meager return that you got on this trade, because 5 years from now, we're not going to be talking about it that much.
So it shouldn't matter, is what you're saying. It shouldn't.
No, it matters. I mean, it matters. And I do think it was less than even the most skeptical analysts thought that the Bears were going to get back. And it matters. It's just not the main thing, because the main thing is, how do you solidify the most important position on your roster in a way that elevates your team for the long haul? I think when I talk about being startled by the return, when you consider that the Bears traded away a this year round 5 pick earlier in the month for Ryan Bates, and then you say Justin Fields got a 6 next year, you go, whoa, you know, like that doesn't compute. And so that's where it's a little bit staggering, but ultimately it's going to come down to what the plan is from here to elevate the next quarterback who jumps in that QB1 seat.
Yeah, well, it does appear that, you know, now you can, you know, connect the dots that a lot of what he's done in terms of, you know, you mentioned one of those guys in Bates, a lot of what he's done is, you know, depth on that offensive line, solidify it, which makes quarterbacks a little bit more comfortable, bringing in Keenan Allen to pair with DJ Moore, which just looks gorgeous. You know, Cole Kmet getting better, Gerald Everett is here, DeAndre Swift is here, all in the name of probably Caleb Williams. Do you fantasize a little bit about that, Dan, in terms of Caleb Williams and whether or not he would be able to hit the ground running with what looks like about as good of a tandem of wide receivers as a team could have for any rookie quarterback?
And oh, by the way, a chance to add to that if you so desire next month.
Yes,
right?
Well said.
If you
said.
Want to use that number nine pick and it fits there, or even if you want to trade down from nine and maybe, you know, grab an extra couple picks and grab Brian Thomas from LSU, you still have a chance to add to that group. And so, look, like, I know this is an emotional time for a lot of people, and it's easy to lose sight of where the Bears currently stand when we're trying to do so much reflecting on where they went wrong over the last 3 years. But they're in an amazing position right now, and it's unlike obviously the support that Justin had when he came in. It's unlike the support that Mitch had when he came in terms of the talent around him. And so now you've got an opportunity to do what we've begged this organization to do forever, which is create the launching pad for that young, promising quarterback to get off the ground in a way that's healthy and pushes you towards all the goals that the Bears have been unable to achieve for 30-plus years. You know, and you and I have talked about this behind the scenes at Halas Hall and not necessarily on the air, and there's a goal here to sustain success. And that's what Ryan Poles' job is here. It's to put your team in a position to sustain success, and part of that is choosing the right quarterback and then surrounding that quarterback with as many right things around him as you possibly can to make sure that he gets off on the right foot and then stays, you know, building momentum for this franchise going forward. And so this is going to be fascinating now in the months and years ahead to see how they handle all that.
Dan, what do you say to the people that have said and are saying right now, I have texts on the text line right now here at the Score right now that are saying whenever I have mentioned Keenan Allen, they have made comments like, I don't remember Justin Fields ever getting that support, huh? Why did they build this up for Justin Fields? How come they're building it up for somebody else? What do you say to those folks out there who are pushing back like that?
Ryan Poles does not have to answer for the sins of his predecessors. He just doesn't. And so what he's trying to do is do the things he was hired to do. Do things better than the people that came before you, right? That's what this is about. If you want to look back on the biggest misstep in the Justin Fields era, it was allowing Justin Fields to be chosen by a general manager and a head coach that were skating on thin ice. If they weren't skating on thin ice, they would have had more than 1 year to see his development through. And instead, you know, at a time, Ted Phillips and George McCaskey decided to ride forward with the last Ryan and Matt with belief that they could get things turned around. And when they didn't during Justin's rookie season, they sent him out the door. And that was a misstep. It was a miscalculation. It did Justin no favors, and it forced the new GM to come into a situation where not only did he have to kind of reboot the quarterback's development, but he had to go through a roster teardown to get this organization positioned for success. So no, Justin never had ideal conditions here. It was not his fault, all the things that went wrong around him. He also didn't do enough to elevate himself and those around him to levels that made it worth keeping him beyond 2023. And so that's where we're at right now. We're at this position where they made that assessment, the league made that assessment, and Justin goes forward in a new home while Ryan Poles tries to do things better, right? And that's what we've asked this organization to do. We've asked them to have better leadership. We've asked them to have more coherent plans, and Ryan Poles is trying to put those together right now. And so if it comes at the expense of the three-year run that Justin Fields had here, that's just the way this league is sometimes. It's a cruel league. It's a cruel sport, and he's going to have to move on. And I tweeted yesterday that Justin's got enough ability. He's got enough of the intangibles that he can stay in this league for a very, very long time now. And he's going to land in a spot in Pittsburgh where he's going to get a chance to take some swings in year four of getting himself back up. And he'll have plenty of opportunity to prove the people that believe in him to the highest degree is right. And so we'll see what he does with it from here.
Yeah, very much for looking forward to seeing what becomes of his career. And that said, I mean, you mentioned it. Yes, there is still hope for Justin Fields. He may not be living on a bench for the rest of his career. So with that said, I actually want to ask you a question that I asked your podcast partner, the co-host of the Take the North pod with Dan Wiederer, is David Haw. Do you think that Ryan Poles would have still done away with, traded Justin Fields if Caleb Williams wasn't available in this draft?
And I differ with David on this.
Okay, you heard it. Good, good.
My answer is yes. Yeah, my answer is yes to that, because I think that the assessment of Justin pushes you into a position of trying to get yourself ready to compete at a higher level with a different quarterback. The conversation changes for me if the Bears were picking like 15th. But if they were picking one and you removed Caleb Williams from this draft and said, oh, wait, he's going back to USC for one more season, you still have Jaden Daniels and Drake May there. And you would evaluate them really hard, and you would find a way to kind of get your comprehensive assessment of him in a place where you say, okay, how does this match up to what we foresee for the future of Justin Fields? And I think the conclusion would be we would like to try our hand with one of these other guys. And so I don't think this is fully Caleb Williams dependent. It is certainly helpful when you have a prospect that is so widely regarded as highly as Caleb Williams is for the things that he does at the position, not only as a playmaker, but for a guy who feels the game and sees it in a way that all the great ones do. Now, he's got to make good on all the things that people have talked about in the pre-draft process, but certainly it's a roll of the dice worth taking.
I agree with you, by the way, on that assessment. I think Ryan Poles still moves on from Justin Fields. We just never heard the right, at least I did, my ears, never heard the right things from Ryan Poles in terms of what GMs say about quarterbacks, about whom they are hopeful and think have the next level type of talent. He definitely said he got better, but I just never heard that glow from Ryan Poles.
Brody, you were there at the podium in Indianapolis when Matt Eberflus stood at the dais and described the things that he wants out of an upper tier quarterback. And he talked about being good on third downs, being good on game in the line situations. He talked about being solid inside the pocket. He described a quarterback that wasn't Justin Fields. And so it had become clear that inside the building there, Justin's deficiencies had felt worrisome enough to the people in power right now that they needed to pivot in a new direction. And so that's what they'll do now. And they do so at an absolute golden opportunity time where you're taking this, what I've called for months now, a gift card from the Carolina Panthers, and you're able to cash it in for the top prize on the shelf, right? Like, I mean, how good is that?
It's totally a gift card, man. That's a great way to put it. I love it. All right, last question for you, Dan Weederer. As somebody who's covered the Bears a long time, I know you grew up around here. I'm assuming that at some point in time in your life, you were probably a Bears fan. And the three guys that I've been putting together in terms of the big swings in the modern era of Bears quarterbacks are Jay Cutler, Mitch Trubisky, now, you know, Justin Fields, probably Caleb Williams. But where do you fit Justin Fields in terms of comparing legacies to Mitch Trubisky and Jay Cutler and where they sort of fit, if he can even be comped to what I thought were disappointments in both Trubisky and Cutler ultimately?
Fields will certainly go down as the most exhilarating player to watch. You know, and I think that's part of this that has made this so difficult for people in Chicago is you get lost in your feelings because you know the feeling you had when he was drafted in 2021. You know the feeling you had on that Monday night in Pittsburgh. You know the feeling you had when he made those amazing scrambling touchdown runs and the amazing escape from pressure and throw a touchdown pass like to Cole Kmet in Cleveland this last year. Jay had a longer run of sustained success and was able to stick around for 8 years and do a lot here. And so it's a complicated legacy for Justin Fields, in my opinion, because you do have to put into context all of the things that were not stable around him and understand that that's part of his story. But at the same time, he won 10 games. You know, he missed 11 games due to injury or illness over three seasons, and he won 10 of them. That's just not good enough to be put on the pedestal that a lot of people wanted to elevate him to. You know, it's just you talk to people around the league and their confusion on why this was so controversial or debatable or whatever word you want to attach to it in Chicago, is just the sentiment is the level of acclaim for Justin Fields never married up to the level of actual achievement. And so that's going to be why this is a conversation that doesn't die today. You know, you're going to get off the air in a couple hours and you're going to go home and this conversation is going to last for another 6 months, 6 years, maybe six decades, you know? And so that's the hard part about it, because Justin was an exhilarating player. You and I got to spend extensive amount of time around him in the building to understand how well he handled his situation, how mature he was, how thick-skinned he was, how well-respected he was by coaches and teammates. And so that want to like Justin is very real and it's very understandable. But eventually in this league, it's a cruel, cutthroat business where you're trying to win championships. He just didn't achieve enough to keep his job as a Chicago Bears quarterback beyond 2023. And, you know, off he goes to Pittsburgh now.
Yep. Dan, is there a Take the North podcast up and running right now? People want to hear more Dan Weederer right this moment.
We are recording this evening. So
okay.
By the end of the evening or early Monday morning, you'll have your full Justin Fields reaction pod with me and David Haw and all these gas station receipts and other pieces of paper that I've got notes written on. They will come to life on those airwaves.
I think there's going to be like a different tone in both of your voices for that podcast. And I think the word is relief. I actually was accusing David of his voice being bad today. Maybe it's just the relief in his voice that I was sensing. Maybe it was just relief.
Well, yeah, there's certainly some of that. You know how exhausting it's been. And it looked like you and I haven't really had many on-air discussions on this topic, but we've had plenty of off-air discussions. And the one thing I was excited about talking to you today was the fact that usually when we have these conversations about this entire topic, you know, it's not like you've come from sucking on the helium tank and your head's in the clouds and you can't get your feet back on the ground. And you know, it's not guided by emotion and passion that makes you bleary-eyed, you know, and that's what's so hard to get other people to see is that when you just remove the emotion and the passion and you just do it through, you know, a sober, objective lens, you see different things. And that's what the NFL saw. It's what the Bears leadership saw. And it's what led them to this point right now.
Well, don't worry, Mr. Weeder. One of our fine colleagues, Herb Howard, is coming up next. He's got the Justin Fields side of this thing down.
This is the Katie Britt rebuttal for me, right? Like coming up with Herb Howard, he gets to take the stand and give the rebuttal.
That is correct. Yeah, this is a big moment for Herb. Dan, I am so late right now that I'm probably going
to
get a text or a call. So I'll talk to you later. There he goes. See you, man. Dan Weederer. He and David Hall will record Take the North, and that'll drop tomorrow. And it's going to be a great week here on The Score. I'm glad that I get to handle it for the next hour here. We'll take a break, and we will bring in Herb Howard next. Herb, sorry I'm late, man. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Justin has a rare combination of intelligence, of size, of strength, and speed. You forget how big of a man he is until you're up on him. He's not a small man. And so I just think every year he's going to continually get better. So I'm glad he's on the Chicago Bears.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That was the big boss of the Bears, Kevin Warren. I am here with you until 3 o'clock today talking about the Chicago Bears. We will certainly get to more of your calls coming up. 312-644-6767. Justin Fields traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a conditional 6th rounder in 2025. Coming up in a bit, too, we're going to talk to Herb Howard, Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs and a big Justin Fields supporter. So I know that Herb will be representing a lot of you when he comes on The Score to give his perspective. So looking very forward to that. And right now, very much looking forward to talking to Dan Weederer as well. Of course, Dan Weederer, the Bears beat reporter, enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune, on-air contributor for 670 The Score, and host of the Take the North podcast. And Weedsy joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. What's going on, Dan? How are you?
Grody, thanks for including me in this little informal roundtable that you got going today. A lot to talk about. Just give you a little peek behind the curtain. When I know I'm going to be on the radio or doing a podcast for Take the North, I start scribbling down notes on the back of gas station receipts or kids' homework that's laying around the house. I've got like 5 different sheets going right now with thoughts on everything that's happened here recently. So
that's fantastic. Well, let's dig in. Maybe I could hit on some of your notes. And it's funny, man. Like I needed to be like, they asked me to come on, and I was like, yes, because I felt like I really wanted to and needed to talk about this because it is loaded. There is just so much that goes into this. We could talk about it for hours, all the different angles right now, but I guess I will narrow it down for you, Dan, and ask you the question, what was your initial reaction when word came out that Justin Fields was traded to Pittsburgh for a conditional 6th round pick in 2025?
Yeah, so I was picking up pizzas yesterday when I learned of the news that the trade had been made. And obviously, the initial reaction is, okay, we've reached the finish line of what's been a very exhausting saga in Chicago. The secondary reaction was, wow, not just a sixth-round pick, but a future six. Now, it's a conditional pick, obviously, and if Justin makes enough appearances and plays 51% of the snaps for the Steelers, that'll move up to a number four next year. But just the meager return left me startled initially, you know, because you thought at the very least you can get something that will help you build your team this year, and they were unable to do so. Now, you zoom out a little bit, and I tweeted a little bit about this morning, and you look at the big picture lens, and you understand that if you're in Ryan Poles' seat, this is going to be judged. This trade, this move, this decision is going to be judged on how Justin's replacement fares over the next 5 years, right? And that's what it comes down to. And so if you have conviction that whether it's Caleb Williams or a plan B with one of these other quarterbacks that is in the draft, that they are going to be able to put together a stretch here over the next five seasons that vaults you and elevates you into consistent contention for championships, then you make this move and you don't worry about the meager return that you got on this trade, because 5 years from now, we're not going to be talking about it that much.
So it shouldn't matter, is what you're saying. It shouldn't.
No, it matters. I mean, it matters. And I do think it was less than even the most skeptical analysts thought that the Bears were going to get back. And it matters. It's just not the main thing, because the main thing is, how do you solidify the most important position on your roster in a way that elevates your team for the long haul? I think when I talk about being startled by the return, when you consider that the Bears traded away a this year round five pick earlier in the month for Ryan Bates, and then you say Justin Fields got a six next year, you go, whoa, you know, like that doesn't compute. And so that's where it's a little bit staggering, but ultimately it's going to come down to what the plan is from here to elevate the next quarterback who jumps in that QB1 seat.
Yeah, well, it does appear that, you know, now you can, you know, connect the dots that a lot of what he's done in terms of, you know, you mentioned one of those guys in Bates, a lot of what he's done is, you know, depth on that offensive line, solidify it, which makes quarterbacks a little bit more comfortable. Bringing in Keenan Allen to pair with DJ Moore, which just looks gorgeous. You know, Cole Kmet getting better. Gerald Everett is here. DeAndre Swift is here. All in the name of probably Caleb Williams. Do you fantasize a little bit about that, Dan, in terms of Caleb Williams and whether or not he would be able to hit the ground running with what looks like about as good of a tandem of wide receivers as a team could have for any rookie quarterback?
And oh, by the way, a chance to add to that if you so desire next month.
Yes,
right?
Well,
if you
said.
Want to use that number nine pick and it fits there, or even if you want to trade down from nine and maybe, you know, grab an extra couple picks and grab Brian Thomas from LSU, you still have a chance to add to that group. And so, look, like, I know this is an emotional time for a lot of people, and it's easy to lose sight of where the Bears currently stand when we're trying to do so much reflecting on where they went wrong over the last 3 years. But they're in an amazing position right now, and it's unlike obviously the support that Justin had when he came in. It's unlike the support that Mitch had when he came in terms of the talent around him. And so now you've got an opportunity to do what we've begged this organization to do forever, which is create the launching pad for that young, promising quarterback to get off the ground in a way that's healthy and pushes you towards all the goals that the Bears have been unable to achieve for 30 plus years, you know. And you and I have talked about this behind the scenes at Hallis Hall and not necessarily on the air. And there's a goal here to sustain success. And that's what Ryan Poles' job is here. It's to put your team in a position to sustain success. And part of that is choosing the right quarterback and then surrounding that quarterback with as many right things around him as you possibly can to make sure that he gets off on the right foot and then stays, you know, building momentum for this franchise going forward. And so this is going to be fascinating now in the months and years ahead to see how they handle all that.
Dan, what do you say to the people that have said and are saying right now? I have texts on the text line right now here at the Score right now that are saying whenever I have mentioned Keenan Allen, they have made comments like, I don't remember Justin Fields ever getting that support, huh? Why did they build this up for Justin Fields? How come they're building it up for somebody else? What do you say to those folks out there who are pushing back like that?
Ryan Poles does not have to answer for the sins of his predecessors. He just doesn't. And so what he's trying to do is do the things he was hired to do do things better than the people that came before you, right? That's what this is about. If you want to look back on the biggest misstep in the Justin Fields era, it was allowing Justin Fields to be chosen by a general manager and a head coach that were skating on thin ice. If they weren't skating on thin ice, they would have had more than 1 year to see his development through. And instead, you know, at a time, Ted Phillips and George McCaskey decided to ride forward with the last Ryan and Matt with belief that they could get things turned around. And when they didn't during Justin's rookie season, they sent him out the door. And that was a misstep. It was a miscalculation. It did Justin no favors. And it forced the new GM to come into a situation where not only did he have to kind of reboot the quarterback's development, but he had to go through a roster teardown to get this organization positioned for success. So no, Justin never had ideal conditions here. It was not his fault, all the things that went wrong around him. He also didn't do enough to elevate himself and those around him to levels that made it worth keeping him beyond 2023. And so that's where we're at right now. We're at this position where they made that assessment, the league made that assessment, and Justin goes forward in a new home while Ryan Poles tries to do things better, right? And that's what we've asked this organization to do. We've asked them to have better leadership. We've asked them to have more coherent plans, and Ryan Poles is trying to put those together right now. And so if it comes at the expense of the three-year run that Justin Fields had here, that's just the way this league is sometimes. It's a cruel league. It's a cruel sport, and he's going to have to move on. And I tweeted yesterday that Justin's got enough ability. He's got enough of the intangibles that he can stay in this league for a very, very long time now. And he's going to land in a spot in Pittsburgh where he's going to get a chance to take some swings in year four of getting himself back up. And he'll have plenty of opportunity to prove the people that believe in him to the highest degrees right. And so we'll see what he does with it from here.
Yeah, very much looking forward to seeing what becomes of his career. And that said, I mean, you mentioned it. Yes, there is still hope for Justin Fields. He may not be living on a bench for the rest of his career. So with that said, I actually want to ask you a question that I asked your podcast partner, the co-host of the Take the North pod with Dan Wiederer, is David Haw. Do you think that Ryan Poles would have still done away with, traded Justin Fields if Caleb Williams wasn't available in this draft?
And I differ with David on this.
Okay, good.
My answer is yes. Yeah, my answer is yes to that, because I think that the assessment of Justin pushes you into a position of trying to get yourself ready to compete at a higher level with a different quarterback. The conversation changes for me if the Bears were picking like 15th. But if they were picking one and you removed Caleb Williams from this draft and said, oh, wait, he's going back to USC for one more season, you still have Jaden Daniels and Drake May there. And you would evaluate them really hard, and you would find a way to kind of get your comprehensive assessment of him in a place where you say, okay, how does this match up to what we foresee for the future of Justin Fields? And I think the conclusion would be, we would like to try our hand with one of these other guys. And so I don't think this is fully Caleb Williams dependent. It is certainly helpful when you have a prospect that is so widely regarded as highly as Caleb Williams is for the things that he does at the position, not only as a playmaker, but for a guy who feels the game and sees it in a way that all the great ones do. Now, he's got to make good on all the things that people have talked about in the pre-draft process, but certainly it's a roll of the dice worth taking.
I agree with you, by the way, on that assessment. I think Ryan Poles still moves on from Justin Fields. We just never heard the right, at least I did, my ears, never heard the right things from Ryan Poles in terms of what GMs say about quarterbacks, about whom they are hopeful and think have the next level type of talent. He definitely said he got better, but I just never heard that glow from Ryan Poles.
Brody, you were there at the podium in Indianapolis when Matt Eberflus stood at the dais and described the things that he wants out of an upper tier quarterback. And he talked about being good on third downs, being good on game in the line situations. He talked about being solid inside the pocket. He described a quarterback that wasn't Justin Fields. And so it had become clear that inside the building there, Justin's deficiencies had felt worrisome enough to the people in power right now that they needed to pivot in a new direction. And so that's what they'll do now. And they do so at an absolute golden opportunity time where you're taking this, what I've called for months now, a gift card from the Carolina Panthers, and you're able to cash it in for the top prize on the shelf, right? Like, I mean, how good is that?
It's totally a gift card, man. That's a great way to put it. I love it. All right, last question for you, Dan Wiederer. As somebody who's covered the Bears a long time, I know you grew up around here. I'm assuming that at some point in time in your life, you were probably a Bears fan. And the three guys that I've been putting together in terms of the big swings in the modern era of Bears quarterbacks are Jay Cutler, Mitch Trubisky, now, you know, Justin Fields, probably Caleb Williams. But where do you fit Justin Fields in terms of comparing legacies to Mitch Trubisky and Jay Cutler, and where they sort of fit, if he can even be comped to what I thought were disappointments in both Trubisky and Cutler ultimately?
Fields will certainly go down as the most exhilarating player to watch. You know, and I think that's part of this that has made this so difficult for people in Chicago, is you get lost in your feelings because you know the feeling you had when he was drafted in 2021. You know the feeling you had on that Monday night in Pittsburgh. You know the feeling you had when he made those amazing scrambling touchdown runs and the amazing escape from pressure and throw a touchdown pass like to Cole Kmet in Cleveland this last year. Jay had a longer run of sustained success and was able to stick around for 8 years and do a lot here. And so, it's a complicated legacy for Justin Fields, in my opinion, because you do have to put into context all of the things that were not stable around him and understand that that's part of his story. But at the same time, he won 10 games. You know, he missed 11 games due to injury or illness over three seasons, and he won 10 of them. That's just not good enough to be put on the pedestal that a lot of people wanted to elevate him to. You know, it's just you talk to people around the league and their confusion on why this was so controversial or debatable or whatever word you want to attach to it in Chicago, is just the sentiment is the level of acclaim for Justin Fields never married up to the level of actual achievement. And so that's going to be why this is a conversation that doesn't die today. You know, you're going to get off the air in a couple hours and you're going to go home, and this conversation is going to last for another 6 months, 6 years, maybe six decades, you know? And so that's the hard part about it, because Justin was an exhilarating player. You and I got to spend extensive amount of time around him in the building to understand how well he handled his situation, how mature he was, how thick-skinned he was, how well-respected he was by coaches and teammates. And so that want to like Justin is very real and it's very understandable. But eventually in this league, it's a cruel, cutthroat business where you're trying to win championships. He just didn't achieve enough to keep his job as a Chicago Bears quarterback beyond 2023. And, you know, off he goes to Pittsburgh now.
Yep. Dan, is there a Take the North podcast up and running right now? People want to hear more Dan Wiederer right this moment.
We are recording this evening, so
okay.
By the end of the evening, early Monday morning, you'll have your full Justin Fields reaction pod with me and David Haw and all these gas station receipts and other pieces of paper that I've got notes written on. They will come to life on those airways.
I think there's going to be like a different tone in both of your voices for that podcast, and I think the word is relief. I actually was accusing David of his voice being bad today. Maybe it's just the relief in his voice that I was sensing. Maybe it was just relief.
Well, yeah, there's certainly some of that, and you know how exhausting it's been. And it looked like you and I haven't really had many on-air discussions on this topic, but we've had plenty of off-air discussions. And the one thing I was excited about talking to you today was the fact that usually when we have these conversations about this entire topic, you know, it's not like you've come from sucking on the helium tank and your head's in the clouds and you can't get your feet back on the ground. And you know, it's not guided by emotion and passion that makes you bleary eyed, you know, and that's what's so hard to get other people to see is that when you just remove the emotion and the passion and you just do it through, you know, a sober, objective lens, you see different things. And that's what the NFL saw. It's what the Bears leadership saw. And it's what led them to this point right now.
Well, don't worry, Mr. Weeder. One of our fine colleagues, Herb Howard, is coming up next. He's got the Justin Fields side of this thing down.
This is the Katie Britt rebuttal for me, right? Like coming up with Herb Howard, he gets to take the stand and give the rebuttal.
That is correct. Yeah, this is a big moment for Herb. Dan, I am so late right now that I'm probably going
to
get a text or a call. So I'll talk to you later. There he goes. See you, man. Dan Wiederer. He and David Hall will record Take the North, and that'll drop tomorrow. And it's going to be a great week here on The Score. I'm glad that I get to handle it for the next hour here. We'll take a break, and we will bring in Herb Howard next. Herb, sorry I'm late, man. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.